our minds are so very powerful. I say all the time to my kids, if you think you can, you can. And if you think you can't, you can't. Because so much of ability begins in believing it is even possible. The same is so true for birth. When you decide that you can have a natural birth the way that God intended, it is all the more possible than it ever was when you doubted. We're going to really dive into this today because I truly believe that you can have your birth God's way.
Are you a Christian woman yearning for a beautiful, joyful pregnancy and birth with a focus on God, not medical tests? Are you worried the birth you want isn't possible and you're tired of being treated like an accident waiting to happen? Hey mama, I'm Lori, host of Your Birth God's Way. I'm a certified nurse midwife now, but I wasn't always. After working for nearly 20 years in the broken maternity system, I too was in your shoes wondering how I could have the birth I wanted and that I felt God meant for me to have. I found a secret that has actually been known since the beginning of time. God's way is the best way. Spoiler alert, God made us and our babies, and He knows us best. He designed us perfectly for pregnancy, birth, and nourishing our babies after birth, if we work with His design and not against it. In this podcast, you'll learn how to be healthy and have joy during this time of life that will be over before you know it. So if you're ready to reclaim your birth and your babies for His glory, go turn on a few episodes of Bluey for that little one on your hip so you can put the focus back on you for a few minutes with me.
It's review time, one of my favorite times of the show. I love sharing with you guys what other listeners like you are having to say about the show. And I also love encouraging you to go leave me a review. I ask this every week at this time, but it really, really, really does mean so much to me. It gives me encouragement. It helps me to keep going. And it also helps me reach other mamas just like you guys. So if you haven't already left me a review, please hit pause right now. Go on over to Apple Podcasts. Leave me a quick review. If you don't have an Apple device, grab your friends, grab your moms, grab your sisters, grab somebody's and leave it on theirs. That way you can still leave the review in the place that tends to reach more people. Hit pause, do that real quick. I'll wait. Okay, now you're back. So today's review is from back in February. The screen name is Vashbrook. It says, I started listening to this podcast when I first found out I was pregnant with my second child. I knew the Lord was preparing me to have a natural birth. My first baby, I put complete trust into the medical system. This led to an induction and having tremendous challenges during my postpartum period. Deep down, I knew that wasn't the way God had intended for pregnancy, birth, and postpartum to be. Lori challenged my thinking and helped me understand that God's way is the best way, even if it seems like it's scary or the hard way. At 36 weeks pregnant, I made a huge leap of faith by leaving my provider and finding a midwife to help me deliver at home, proving it's not too late to change your mind. I was met by many negative opinions from family, anxious about the what ifs, but I knew that God was encouraging me to trust Him. My husband and I decided to put our eyes on the Lord, and when I went into labor at home, I felt complete peace. It was hard, but I felt the Lord's presence and I was able to catch my own baby. How cool is that? I had a significantly better recovery and I bonded with my baby immediately, something I missed out with my first. The temporary pain was worth the reward of the outcome. Thank you, Lori, for allowing the Lord to use you to share with women that God's way is the best way. Thank you, Vashbrook. I don't know what your actual name is. Thank you, Vashbrook, for taking the time to write that very detailed review that gives me such a real look into what happened for you. And I mean, how cool is that to catch your own baby? What a blessing. I love that. I love that. I love that. And I thank you for sharing it. And I am humbled that I am helping so many of you, that God is working through me to reach so many of you to know that there's a better way. Putting your faith in man is always going to lead to heartache. Yes, some things may work out, but when we choose man's way over God's way, it's never going to be what it could be. And it's always interesting to me as I read these reviews that I don't necessarily plan which review I'm going to read based on what my topic is for the day, but she actually hit, I think, an exact phrase of something I was planning on sharing today. She said, even if it seems like it's scary or the hard way. We're going to talk about that some today, because our topic today is looking at our limiting beliefs that are causing us not to have what God wants us to have. I want us today to look at what limiting beliefs are you holding on to that don't serve you anymore. Because let me assure you, God's way does work, because He is God and everything He made is perfect. But that doesn't mean that we don't have the power to undermine His perfect design and His perfect creation. Let's look at some limiting beliefs today and how they relate to God's design and how you actually do have the power to undermine them. We have free will. God gave us free will. He doesn't make us love Him. He doesn't make us do things His way. We have the ability to choose not to do it His way. But we also have the ability to choose His way, knowing that when we choose His way, He is there and He promises to help us. I want you to think about a couple of scriptures as we head into this topic today. The first one from Psalm 29:9. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth. The voice of the Lord. The voice. He merely says something and He can make it happen. It doesn't say the medical system putting an IV into the deer's leg makes the deer give birth. It doesn't say putting some medicine inside of the deer's cervix, assuming a deer has a cervix. I'm assuming they do. Never really done that kind of a study. I'm guessing you probably haven't either. But no medicine that we put in the deer makes it give birth. The Lord makes the deer give birth. So what makes you think that God will do this for a deer and not for you? Matthew chapter 10. Verses 29 through 31, are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Now, this passage is not talking about birth specifically, and yet it applies. Because if God will make a deer give birth, and if God does not have one single sparrow fall to its death without Him knowing, think about how many sparrows there are. What are they doing day to day? Just gathering food, feeding their babies. That's what they do. That's all they do. They don't have souls. They don't have wills. They don't have cars to go do their jobs and gather money and pay for bills and raise children the way we think of it. And yet God doesn't miss out on them. If He cares for the sparrows and the deer and the rest of the animal kingdom who are not His children and who are not made in His image, why do you think He won't care for you above and beyond that? These are the limiting beliefs I'm talking about. What makes you think that your situation is somehow the first one He's ever just going to forget about? It's not. You know, if you've been listening to the show long, you know that last summer I recorded an episode about my cats giving birth. And if you follow me on Instagram, which if you don't, go follow me, yourbirth_God's way, I shared some videos that my cats have once again had babies. Apparently they don't know what causes babies, but that's a whole different episode. But you know, it's interesting. I totally missed it this time. The last time I noticed it was happening and I was able to watch. This time I went out to feed them one day and I found four babies there. And mama had hopped up to get whatever food I was bringing, but there were four little babies there and I totally missed it. And then I think it was the next day, because we have two cats, both of them pregnant again, same ones as last time. The next day, I believe it was about 11 o'clock. We took some food out to the one that was still pregnant, or really for both of them, but to the one that was still pregnant, because she acted like she was going to go off somewhere and have her baby somewhere else. And we were trying to lure her back to do it on our back porch so we could watch them and make sure they're safe and everything. And she was still pregnant at 11 o'clock. I was just assuming that I would get to watch this time. I was assuming it was going to happen in the day. I don't know why. I'm a midwife. I know babies don't often happen during the day naturally, but yet I trusted it. Went off to bed. Wake up at, I don't know, 7 something the next morning. My son's in there going, they had more babies. And now we have 9. And I want you to know, I didn't go ask them if they want a Pitocin. I didn't put an epidural in their back. They never once asked me if they could get up and move around or if they could have a popsicle or ice chips or whatever. They just had their babies when they were ready in the way that they wanted to. And they're nursing them all. And they're all just doing everything that God made them to do. And no one has to do it for them. No one has to tell them how to do it. And I need you to understand, Mama, as we go into a couple of scenarios of limiting beliefs, I need you to know that if he put that into a cat, he certainly put it into you. And your doubts and your fears and the things that you think you're not ready to do are not based on him. They are based on the fact that this culture has told you that you can't do it unless some doctor with some names or some letters behind his name tells you to do it first. I heard somebody talking the other day about when they can push based on a cervical exam. And I get the theory behind all that. This episode is not to argue that, but the point being, a doctor had to let you know that you could do the thing that your body was already telling you to do. Because, by the way, pushing is a reflex. It's an instinct. It's not something you can fight when it's time. And yet, people, mamas, believe that until somebody tells them that they, quote, can do something like pushing, that they can't, they don't know if they're ready. And yet, God made you to know when you're ready. He gave you instincts, just the same as he gave those cats instincts. Nobody checked the cat's cervix and told him it was okay to push now. They just did. I'm digressing a little bit, but I need you to understand that these are limiting beliefs from our culture and our broken medicalized maternity system that have made you believe that somehow you're not good enough without somebody else's help. No, Mama, you've got it in you, and we're going to look at that today. So let's look at two different scenarios of limiting beliefs. And believe me, I could go on all day about these, but I just picked out two to kind of dig into to help you understand how our minds have the power to either make us do this well, God's way, or to cause us to fall into the traps of thinking that we can't do it. So the first one, the limiting belief of your baby will be too big to fit through your pelvis. Too big. And this is built on fear from others, from the things that they have experienced, usually in a hospital setting. And you're going to see by the end of this, I hope, why they believe that. The hospital tells people all the time that their babies are too big. They're just too big to fit through their pelvis. But are they really? When you hear stories of people having 10 and 11 pound babies, naturally, mind you, how is it that a baby can be too big? If you can fit an 11-pound baby through a pelvis, you can fit an 8-pound baby through a pelvis. No baby in any mama is truly too big because God would not put a baby in that cannot find its way out. Let's talk about what God's design is and why I can say this with such confidence. First of all, God made your pelvis with many movable bones. Your pelvis is not just one big old bone. It's several bones that work together and they move as you walk, as you lunge, as you squat. Any movement that you make with your lower body, your pelvis changes. It also changes when you lay on your back, because when you lay on your back, you flatten the sacrum up towards the front of the pelvis where the pubic arch and things like this are, and you make that pelvis smaller. Okay? So when you're walking, you're moving, and you're upright, you make it bigger. You make the hole move around. And when you lay on your back, you make it smaller and you compact it. Okay? Now let's talk about the baby's head. Baby skulls are made of a few different bones that join at areas called sutures and fontanelles. When a baby is born, these are very movable. They're squishy. They move around. Our heads as adults are very hard. That's because all of those sutures have filled in by this point, but babies don't have that yet. Those bones can literally overlap each other. And if you've ever seen conehead babies be born, not coneheads from the movie, but actual babies be born as coneheads, it's because of that molding. It's because God made their skulls to kind of squish to fit through. Okay, that's his design. The fontanelles, which are the soft spots you've heard talk of, and the sutures, which is where the bones come together, those are all movable. And those bones can move because of those sutures and those fontanelles. So obviously, he made a baby's head to be able to squish to fit through this pelvis that you think might be too small. Babies also, as they're coming through that pelvis, they make several moves at different markers throughout the pelvis to help them to fit. Whether you realize this or not, the top of the pelvis, the hole, the outlet, in the top of the pelvis is an oval that goes from your right side to your left side. It's called transverse, okay? So it's the longer parts are pointing at your sides. But at the outlet, that same oval is actually front to back. So obviously how the baby goes in at the top is going to have to change to come out the bottom. And there's reasons for that I don't have time to get into today, but suffice it to say, because we've got an oval facing one way at the top and a different way at the bottom, the baby's going to have to move, okay? It's going to have to wiggle. It's going to have to make some rotations. Knowing this about his design, knowing that the pelvis moves and the baby's head moves and the baby has to do other movements on the way through, can all lead you to deduce that God meant for you to be up and moving, working with your body during labor to help it work the way that he made it. Because as we're about to learn, not being up and not moving works against that design. How do we undermine this? In our culture, in our medical system, how are we undermining God's design in most labors? Well, for one thing, we induce. A lot of people are induced. I hear that the statistic these days is somewhere around a third. I'll be honest, from my experience, from what I was seeing when I was working in labor and delivery, it seemed a lot higher than that because it felt like nobody was having babies naturally. It felt like everybody was getting induced. So I don't know where they pull these numbers from, but we'll go with it at any rate. But when you induce, you can automatically assume that the baby wasn't ready and that the mama wasn't ready to be in labor, because if the baby was ready and if the mama was ready to be in labor, she would have been in labor, okay? So when you're inducing, you're starting a process that was not ready yet. We can also deduce that likely a large portion of those people who are being induced, the baby was not yet in its optimum position for the birth. Now remember, I talked about the out or the inlet of the pelvis being an oval that is transverse. So there's going to be a certain way that the baby's head has to fit through there properly for it to get the right start. And I can't show you this on an audio podcast. I'm talking with my hands a lot, but you can't see that. But just understand that the baby's head has to go through it at a certain angle in a certain way. And the baby will tend to get itself in that position before labor starts. We don't fully understand the exact trigger of what makes labor start, but one of the things has to be the baby being in the right position. Okay, so when you start the labor process, you start making that uterus contract and squeeze and make things happen before that baby's head is in the right position, but it's getting squeezed down even though it wasn't in the right position in the pelvis. You can understand that sometimes you're going to start squeezing a baby through in the wrong position with its head turned wrong, and it can't do much wiggling and it can't do much correcting when, of course, if you're inducing, you're probably flat on your back in a bed. So your pelvis is contracted, it's squeezed in, that outlet is as small as it can possibly be. You're inducing in a way, usually if you're on your back, you know, you're now causing the baby to have to fight gravity, which none of us can win that battle, but somehow we try to make babies do it all the time. Gravity wins every time, but we lay flat and we try to make a baby squeeze through a hole that's the smallest it can possibly be because you're on your back. At a time that it's not ready, it's not in the right position yet, because labor hasn't started on its own yet. Yeah, in that way, you can definitely understand how a baby could get in the wrong position. So it's not that the baby is too big to fit through your pelvis, it's that its big old head hasn't found its best way through the pelvis yet to start your labor yet, so that now it's not positioned right. I mean, if you've got an oval going one way, and your baby's head is going, you know, perpendicular to that, you can imagine that it's not going to fit right. It's going to get wedged in there in a way that it can't make the motions and the rotations that it needs to make to find its way through the rest of the pelvis. Then add on top of that, we give moms epidurals. So any motion that the mom might have made by maybe sliding up in bed, moving legs around, sitting upright, things like this, any motions that the mom might have made that might have benefited the baby are now completely limited as mom is immobile from the waist down. So we have a contracted, immobile pelvis. We have a baby's head that's being forced through a pelvis in the wrong position. Can you see how this limiting belief that does not come from you, does not come from God, but comes from the medical system, is causing His design to look like it's failing, to look like it needs the help of the medical system, when really the design was perfect and the medical system worked against it from the start and broke it? Okay? Tell me, is your limiting belief about worrying whether your baby's head is too big or your baby in general is too big to fit through your pelvis, is that based on God's design or is that based on fear the world has created for you? I think you know the answer. Second limiting belief we're going to look at. I can't give birth safely at home. This is also built on the fear of others and a false understanding and appreciation of giving birth at home and what that even means. Midwives and other home birth attendants believe in natural birth or they wouldn't be doing what they do. Okay? Not all of them believe that God is the creator. In fact, I would venture to say most of them don't. But most of them do believe in His design, whether they realize it or not, because to work with a natural thing, to work with the natural design of birth, when God was the designer of birth, they do believe in the design. They just haven't quite yet identified where that design came from. Midwives work hard to obtain their training that can come through various routes. There's all kinds of different paths to becoming a midwife. I've gone into that in other episodes that you can find. But just understand that letters after a person's name mean nothing. Okay? There are great doctors and there are terrible doctors, and both still have MD behind their name. There are great nurse midwives and there are terrible nurse midwives, and both will still have CNN behind their name. There are great professional midwives and there are terrible professional midwives that all still have CPM behind their name, and I could go on and on. There are midwives who have no licensure who are great, and there are midwives who have no licensure who are terrible, and they are both still midwives working in birth. What matters, and where you're going to have to do a little legwork on your own, is determining their experience and their mindset, whether they truly respect birth, whether they have the experience and the knowledge that they need to protect your birth and to make sure you're safe, or whether they don't. It's not the letters after their name that make your home birth safe. It's their abilities and both of your trusting in this process. Most midwives are actually kind of like many walking hospitals. Back to the topic of whether it's safe to give birth at home. They come prepared with most all of the equipment that is used for the stabilization of mom and baby, for basically almost all of the things that you're afraid might happen at home that make you think it might not be safe to be at home. If you want to learn more about what all they take to birth, you can go back to the episode where I interviewed Rachel Clark. I apologize, I didn't look at the episode number, but I'll get it and I'll put it in the show notes. But she talks about all the things that she brings to her birth, and that's a pretty typical setup for most midwives. They come prepared with all kinds of stuff. But see, what many don't see about this whole situation is that the things you're scared of, that they are prepared to take care of, actually don't happen much at home, because that cascade of interventions, which leads to a cascade of consequences that is very, very real in the hospital, and almost no one escapes unscathed there. Those things at home almost never happen, and nearly everyone has a birth with no unnecessary interventions. Interventions at home are only applied when needed, which makes them necessary. How do we undermine this? We let others' fears dictate our choices. We let our own fears dictate our choices. And our fears are not based on God. They're based on what the world has told us isn't safe and what we've gotten scared of as a result. If we were just out in nature, maybe kind of think prehistoric people, where there was no hospitals and there was no TV and there was no internet and there was no social media to tell you what they think birth is supposed to be like. There were no TV shows to show you how scary birth is. If all you knew was that you were a woman and you grew a baby in your tummy, and that tummy and that baby's going to come out eventually, you would just go on about your business until the day that it happened, and then you would have your baby, and then you would go on about your business again. And you wouldn't be afraid because you wouldn't have anything to be afraid of. Our fears almost completely don't come from ourselves. But if we, quote, only try, I'm going to try to have a natural birth. I'm going to try to have a birth at home. We don't actually truly believe it's possible. If we just say we're going to try, that word try alone tells you that you're kind of going to give it a shot, but it's not a big deal if you fail. And I'm not saying that you're a failure if you transfer. That's not what I'm saying here. I'm saying that this mindset of I'm just going to try and we'll just see what happens implies that you don't truly have faith in this process. We question why this or that isn't being done when we have that mentality. So let's say you're going through your prenatal care and there's something you heard that some friend of yours that goes to the medical system had done. Why aren't you doing this? You're automatically every step of the way, even though those things that your friend were having weren't necessary, you're now questioning every step of the way. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that questions alone are wrong. Questions aren't wrong when they're just to gather information. Why do you not do this? You just want to know why. But questioning because you think that that level of intervention is necessary in order to have a, quote, safe birth means you don't truly believe what you're doing is best. And your worry is likely going to sabotage you giving birth at home. Okay? You've got to understand the power that your mindset has on the success or failure of your home birth. Yesterday, I had a reunion with the participants who took part in our live course this past summer. We got to meet all the babies. It was a great, great moment to get to see all these babies that were inside when we were going through the course. It was awesome. And one of the mamas said that the only reason that she succeeded at her home birth is because she was surrounded by other people who knew how badly she wanted to succeed at having a home birth, and they wouldn't let her quit. They kept her at home even when she wanted to quit, and as a result, she succeeded. But and this was not a mama who doubted, so I don't want you to take that from it. She was not one of these, I'm going to try to have a home birth. She wanted it, and even though she wanted it, when she hit that wall, when she got to that hard point, she was like, I'm out of here. I don't want to do this anymore. So the fact that she was that dedicated and she still had that moment lets you know that if you have doubts heading in, you're not going to make it. Because the first time anything gets hard, you're going to be like, I can't do it. I can't do this. And you're going to tell yourself you can't, even though you can. It's not that you're not able. It's that you don't believe that you're able. She would have given up, but she surrounded herself with people who knew how much she believed in it so that when she hit that wall, which transition very frequently is, it's a wall where you're like, I can't do this anymore. They kept her there. So knowing that, you need to focus so much on believing in this process and get rid of the limiting belief that you're just going to try to do it or that it's not safe, because those beliefs will undermine your ability to have your birth at home in the home that God blessed you with in His way. Those are just two scenarios. There are so many others. Our minds are so, so very powerful. Like I just said, you know, during the hardest part of labor, you probably will want to give up. That's one of the things they told me that I had said to them that they remembered. One of them said that she remembered when she had a moment of, I can't do this anymore. And I guess my voice popped in her head saying, when you feel like you can't do it anymore, you're probably transitioning. And it was. She was. And it wasn't long after that that her baby was born. You're going to want to give up even if you fully believe in it. So you've got to get rid of all those limiting beliefs so that you can remind yourself, no, I can do this. Because if you don't have that in there, if you don't truly believe it's possible, you're going to give up. If you truly believe in what you're doing and you truly believe that God is orchestrating your labor, you'll lean on Him and you'll lean on that belief and you will have a much better likelihood of succeeding These limiting beliefs, we have to put them in the background. We have to get rid of them, and that's not easy. It's not easy at all, and it's very hard to do by yourself in this world that we live in this culture, which attacks your plans from all angles. Right now, we have a big group of mamas who are working through the Your Birth God's Way online Christian childbirth education course. They are working on eliminating those false beliefs and replacing them with truth and factual information. That course is built around giving you all the tools that you need to have a successful birth God's way. And a big part of that work that we do is on shifting your mindset and changing what you believe is possible based on God's truth. When your foundation is on God's truth, you can move away from the world's fear and put it in the rearview mirror, which is essential for you to have success at having a natural birth in this world that works against you at every turn. So won't you come join us? It's a great way to make sure that you have all the tools that you need to succeed. Now, and not only do you get the course, which has everything under the sun, okay, lots of information, you also, inside of that course, get access to our monthly live question and answer sessions, which will answer any questions you might have above and beyond the course. Again, it's really hard to have any questions that I don't cover because I cover pretty much everything. But if you have some situation that's above and beyond that, you have a question, you'll have the opportunity to ask me live each month in our live sessions. I've been in this birth world for over 20 years. I know how it works. And I know what you need to know to navigate the system. I've been all in on the medical side. I was one of the people I talked to you about. I was one of the people working to undermine your plan. And then God woke me up. And I see now that I was a part of the problem. Any of those mamas who I took care of then, I have a few that are friends to this day. I apologize because I was wrong about a lot of things that I have since learned were undermining your ability to be successful. But now because I've learned that, the things that I've learned, I want to share them with you. I don't want you to have to do this alone. Rather than wasting so much time trying to piece together information from 1,000 different sources and having to weed through this new age junk that you know isn't true, come join us in the course where you can get factual information based on the truth of God's perfect creation so that you'll be fully equipped to have your birth God's way. Go on over to go.yourbirthgodsway.com/course and get signed up today. That's go.yourbirthgodsway.com/course. Get signed up today. Get started. And then meet me back here next week for a whole new episode. Real quick, if today's episode blessed you in any way, would you head over to Apple Podcasts and leave me a quick 5-star written review? It'll take you less than a minute, but it's the best thank you you can give me. And it will help my show to reach more mamas just like you so we can all find God's best for our families. I'll see you right back here in a few days.